G'day there, folks. Paul here, signing in as we continue our study series in the book of Luke. Thank you so much for taking the time to come and join with me. So grab your Bible, if you would. If you're taking some notes along the way, turn to Luke chapter 4. We're going to look at the temptations of Jesus, verses 1 through 13. And just while you're turning there, very quickly, a note. These study videos that I do, they are the end result of really just my own personal Bible study as I'm going through the book of Luke now, and then we'll go into Acts after that. I make my own notes and then I present them here. But it's important that we note, as we do this, this cannot be for us just head knowledge. It has to become heart knowledge. It has to become understanding. And whether it's something that we read, that we look at, and we go, oh, yes, I can apply that. Whether it's something that we look and we read and it just simply builds our faith, that's the point. To grow in our faith, to be strengthened in might through Christ Jesus and the Holy Spirit dwelling within. I don't want you to just to listen, to learn and go, yeah, I know that. I want you to see how this becomes a part of life. And today we see Satan tempting Jesus and Jesus responding with obedience to the Father. Perhaps there's something there for each of us to take. So from verse 1, chapter 4, then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Now this is from the Jordan where he was baptized, previous chapter. Now goes up into the Judean wilderness. And this is quite a large area. We don't know how far in he went, but we're looking at a 750 kilometer square area, somewhere from like Jericho down to the Dead Sea. You know, it's dry, it's arid, it's rocky. And I mean, it gets, I think I did a Google search, around 50 millimeters of rain per year. This is not the kind of place you want to break down. Here in Australia, we'd say this is beyond the Birdsville track. It's way out there somewhere. And aside from those very rare occasional flood seasons, man, you don't want to get stuck out here at all. But he gets led by the Spirit. And this is not accidental to go into this area. This had to happen. To be tempted, it says in Matthew, to be tempted by Satan. And in the Hebrews, we see the reasoning for this. In the book of Hebrews, it says that he, Jesus, was tempted by all points, just as we are. And he had to be made like us, that he might be able to be, one, merciful in understanding, yes. And so then he's also, two, able to aid and help us when we go through temptations as well. And it had to happen, of course, for him, because him being without sin had to have the opportunity to sin, but through obedience, praise God, to the Father, resisted. And so verse 2, being tempted for 40 days by the devil, in those days he ate nothing, and afterwards when they ended, he was hungry. Yep, I have no doubt. And I don't know if you've ever done a fast before, no matter how long it was, you're going to get hungry by the end of it. And the longer it goes, you know, your body can sort of become sort of tired and weak. And man, I'm no good if I even miss a meal or two. I need to be careful with my words around my wife. This is not the time where you want your cake and cookies to come to you. But he's been there 40 days, hungry. And this is the moment in this true physical weakness, this moment that the devil comes to him. And verse 3, the devil says, oh, if you're the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. Satan knows, been fasting 40 days, he's hungry, very. You got all this power, Satan says. Now just use it. Use it to feed yourself. And this first temptation, and if we have time just to break through each of them, it's about self. It's about being selfish in your own actions. Even though, I guess, more than that, it's about acting independently of the Father's will for self. And Jesus, I mean, fully God, yes, but also fully man. He has a real legitimate need here. And Satan urges him to use his sonship for himself. Now, if you are the Son of God, use your power, meet your own needs on your own terms. And this is interesting, and I do need to point this out. The language here in the Greek, it's what we'd call a conjunctive. If you are the Son of God, Satan says, but it means since you are. Since you are the Son of God. It's not a question, it's a statement. So the first temptation, right there, right here, right now, self-interest over God's will. And God's will, of course, is that Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, remain what? Sinless, perfect, spotless. And as John the Baptist says, it's in John chapter 1, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, speaking of Jesus, this beautiful, spotless Lamb, spiritually representing. And so Jesus replies, no. It is written, verse 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And there's a lesson right there for us. So the devil, verse 5, takes him up and puts him on a high mountain, shows him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. I can't even imagine what that would be like. The devil says to him, all this authority I will give to you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I will give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, and there's a condition on all of this, if you will worship before me, all will be yours. So Satan takes him to this high mountain, and in a snapshot, a moment of time, two things. First of all, when Adam sinned, we ask the question, whose is this to give? Satan says it's his. When Adam sinned, humanity, mankind, lost its God-given dominion over the world and all that's in it, and came under the reign of sin. So now the devil, who is called the god of this age, the prince of the power of the air, and this whole world under his sway. And he says it right there, all authority I will give to you, for all has been delivered to me, and I will give to whomever I wish. All the kingdoms. I can't even imagine that. Now here's the thing. The Roman Empire, the largest the world had ever seen, and I would surmise yet even all of those empires yet to come. And in a moment of time, Satan gives him this vision of worldly power, glory, compressed into an instant, offering Jesus, here's the key, here's the temptation, a shortcut to getting what is going to be his anyway, but without having to do it through the cross, without that pain, without that torment. It's an edited, deceptive snapshot from Satan designed to win worship. I wish I had more time to spend on it. But Jesus says, what? Verse 7, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you will serve. Hallelujah. So Jesus just utterly rejects Satan's, you know, shortcut to power, and chooses true worship and obedience. God and God alone is to be worshipped, to be served, whatever the cost. Verse 9, then he, Satan, brings him, Jesus, to Jerusalem, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, says, if you're the Son of God, since you're the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written. Now look, listen to this. Satan goes, all right, you're going to use a tactic against me? You're going to use scripture against me? Ah, then let's talk scripture. For it is written, verse 10, Satan speaking, you shall give his angels charge over you to keep you. And verse 11, in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. This is messianic prophecy of protection upon Jesus. But Jesus, of course, sees what he's doing, answering with scripture. So he quotes from there Psalm 91, a beautiful psalm. It's actually about the glorious protection of God upon his people. But notice what he does here. He twists the scripture. He actually leaves something out. He's quoting from verses 11 and verses 12, but he omits the line that God will keep us in all of our ways. Oh, that God would keep us. Psalm 91. Folks, if you haven't read it, oh, I urge you. I've done a video on it. Psalm 91 shows that God protects those who walk in his ways. And Satan Satan tries to use this psalm to tempt Jesus to step outside of the Father's ways and the Father's will. And this is typical of the enemy. I mean, come on, there's nothing new under the sun here, is there? He even uses the Word of God, but misuses it, hoping to draw us away from God's purpose and plan in our lives. And this demonstrates why we need to know the Holy Scriptures, inspired by the Holy Spirit, for everything that we need to grow in this spiritual life. Verse 12, Jesus answers, says to him, hey, it's been said, you shall not tempt, you shall not test the Lord your God. And then when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. And that was another one that came to me. This is interesting, curious. Just a moment, then we'll finish up. Satan departed until an opportune time. And we see in Scripture many opportune times where Satan directly came back or indirectly came back to have another crack, either at God through, you know, Jesus, or through Jesus through us. I think of Matthew 16, all right? Peter, pride comes into play and Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. The exact phraseology used there in verse 8. Satan comes through Jesus, through one of his followers. I think of Jesus on the cross, Matthew 27. We see people mocking him. If you are the Son of God, come down. Same phrase, if you are, you know, since you're the Son of God. Again, set as a statement, not a question. This is the enemy. And in Acts 5, Peter replies to an act of deliberate deceit. He says, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? Acts chapter 13, Paul speaking to an evil sorcerer, calling him the son of the devil, an enemy of righteousness. And we see this, we see these types of things again and again, and I point it out for you because the enemy will keep coming. But we need to remember the words of Psalm 91. God, our God, who protects his people who walk in his way. And Luke 4, here, a Savior, our Savior, who was in all ways tempted as we are, tested, and yet he sinless in response, which is why he alone is able to bear our sins, praise Jesus, and the punishment for them. Amen. Talk soon.